Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 16th of March. I'm Paul White. Talk about late notice. We are going to have our monthly meeting in Flowery Branch, Georgia tomorrow. We started tentatively scheduling this a couple of weeks ago. We confirmed it on Monday, and we will have the meeting this Sunday. That's tomorrow. I realize most of you aren't able to make those meetings. I try to put them out there as quickly as I can. We've built such a rapport with the Clubhouse Theater at Sterling-on-the-Lake that they are letting us do these Sundays for free, which is a blessing. And I'm home. Several people in the group want to meet, so we're going to go ahead and do that. If you are in driving distance and you happen to be listening to this on the day it's released on the 16th, well, then come see us tomorrow on the 17th, 5 o'clock, Sterling-on-the-Lake Clubhouse Theater, Flowery Branch, Georgia. And of course, whatever we do in those meetings, we record video and audio, and therefore we will have that as part of our regular rotation of sermons that go on our website. Speaking of sermons that go on our website, sermons that show up on all of our media platforms. Tomorrow is the 17th. That means it's, or tomorrow is Sunday. That means we are releasing a full-length sermon. And speaking of full-length, this one is full-length and beyond. I will be posting Hearts Hardened by the Law tomorrow on our website. Of course, you can get that Facebook, YouTube, Podbean, everywhere. This is a sermon that opened our two-night meeting, our two-night set in Warren, Ohio, just a few weeks ago. And this sermon is well over an hour. I think it's about an hour 15, hour 12, somewhere in there. It's a little longer than usual. I have found that that doesn't deter people from being a part of what's going on. They seem to enjoy those long sermons. Anyhow, this one will deal with how could Jesus harden the hearts. John says that God, not Jesus, God hardened the hearts of Israel lest they believe. And you think, well, that doesn't seem fair. And so we go into what that hardening looked like, because the New Testament won't let that rest. It wants to show you that it's the giving of the law and what man does with the law that ultimately leads to the hardening of his heart. Paul deals with both the hardening of that heart and the liberty from hard hearts in his writings to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. So take that journey with us, Hearts Hardened by the Law. That's tomorrow, and then next week we will give the second sermon from our trip to Ohio. You don't want to miss that. And we have others in line after that. My travel schedule is about to really pick up. We're in Culloden, West Virginia next weekend. I do two meetings in Hogansville, Georgia in the middle of April. We'll be in Louisville, Kentucky at the end of the month of April. We'll be in Goldsboro, North Carolina at the beginning of the month of May. And so all kinds of great meetings coming up. Check our website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule, to see what's up. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 13, "And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver, threw it into the house of the Lord for the potter." I want to take you to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew today, a passage that you're well aware of. This is the moment when Judas comes in to betray the Lord Jesus. Matthew 26, 14, one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought to betray him. Then the story leaves Judas for a little while. We do have Judas coming back into the Garden of Gethsemane later in the chapter. And then 27, where Judas goes to hang himself, is important in Bible prophecy, because Zechariah, this is our text today, Zechariah 11, 13, what's going to happen to the 30 pieces of silver? Zechariah is not going to just leave those 30 pieces of silver hanging. He says that the Lord says, "Throw it to the potter, the princely price they set on me." So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Matthew 27, verse 3. Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Now, I do like to take my time and talk about whether or not why Judas did what he did. I think we'll do that tomorrow, okay? There's some areas of the Judas story I want to explore. I have my own theories, and I'll state them as such, but we'll do that tomorrow on the podcast. For today, I want you to see what happens to the 30 pieces of silver. Verse 5, and Judas threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Okay, so there they lie on the floor, 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11 and 13 said to take the 30 pieces of silver and throw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Throw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. Isn't that interesting? Let's go back to Matthew 27, 5. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Okay, Zechariah said, throw the silver in the house of the Lord. Judas comes in and throws the silver in the floor of the temple. What would the temple have been considered? The house of the Lord. Now, back to Zechariah. Zechariah 11, 13. What are you supposed to do with the 30 pieces of silver? Throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. But there's no real explanation as to what the potter means. So if you look into the writings of the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah does entire passages multiple times on visiting the potter's house. At one point, he uses money to purchase a potter's field. At another time, he goes down to the potter's house to view the potter work with pottery on the wheel, and then the pottery is abused, and the potter doesn't throw it away, he repairs it, he does throw it away. And we use the New Testament analogy of God doesn't throw you away, he just repairs you. He's the ultimate potter. So all of this great pottery imagery, but it's all in Jeremiah. That's going to make sense in a moment. Here's what the chief priests do in verse 6, Matthew 27. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they're the price of blood. And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Slow down there for a moment. They consulted together. What'd they stop and talk about? Well, obviously they stop and talk about, what are we going to do with this 30 pieces of silver? We can't just put it in a treasury. It cost a man his life. That's blood money. You know, God's house is too holy for us to put blood money in, even though they're putting God on the cross, but that's for another time. What are we going to do with this money? So they put their heads together. What are they talking about? I think they're talking about what we would call Zechariah 11, 13. 30 pieces of silver have been exacted. What does Zechariah say ought to happen to the 30 pieces of silver? Throw it in the floor of the Lord's house. For who? For the potter. Well, it's in the floor of the Lord's house. Let's finish the prophecy. I don't know if they do it to be snarky. I don't know if they do it to be ironic. I don't know if they do it to be challenging. I don't know if they do it out of faith. I really don't. And I don't get a real good sense of why they do this other than they see themselves as part of prophetic history. How they feel about it, I'm not sure, but they have to know what they're doing. I refuse to believe this is coincidence, that they just so happen to buy the potter's field. Or maybe they do, but it seems odd that These are some of the only men in Israel who would have known about Zechariah 11. If these were average dudes on the street, I would say, okay, they didn't know that prophecy existed. But this is the elite class. They definitely know the prophecy existed. They take it. Back to the text, Matthew 27, 7. They consult together. They buy them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, the field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they, the children of Israel, pierced and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Here's the problem. Jeremiah doesn't say that. Now, either Matthew thinks it's Jeremiah because he's dealing with the potter's field and Jeremiah deals a lot with the potter, or a scribe changed it during translation thinking that it should say Jeremiah and not Zechariah. We don't know. We can't tell how it happened, but what we have, Jeremiah doesn't say. Who says it? Zechariah. I have a theory as to why so few of us know this great story from Zechariah 11. I've went all over the world preaching 30 pieces of silver, can God break covenant, etc., etc. And I use as my base text Zechariah 11, and I've never preached it yet where jaws don't drop, people don't meet me at the door and say, I've never heard that in my life. Lay people and pastors alike didn't know the Old Testament said that about the covenant breaking. And I think, how did we miss this for so long? And I think one of the reasons we missed it is because when it's referenced in the New Testament, we get led on a wild goose chase and we end up in Jeremiah because Matthew says Jeremiah says it and he doesn't. For those of you who believe in the inerrancy of the written word, this is a troublesome moment. He should say, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Zechariah the prophet. And maybe originally he did. But for whatever reason, what comes down to us is Jeremiah. And it's not. It's Zechariah. And there's a big difference. Tomorrow we'll talk about... This was a long podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed giving it to you. Tomorrow we'll talk about Judas Iscariot and what that might... Some of my theories on what's going on in that incident. We'll get to that tomorrow and I'll see you then. God bless.